I was also thinking that this matter of being girt about is not a loose idea.
No.
When you girt something about, there's a certain amount of tightness that goes with it. Most of you might have noticed that I'm wearing a kind of a girdle around me. and one of the reasons that it is firmly put there is to give me this support. And that's essentially what I think the girding about the loins with truth will do. It cannot be loose. It has to be firmly tightened around you, so that there is no possibility of the enemy being able to infiltrate.
Just one more thought, brethren, and I think this comes out from the scriptures in the Old Testament. You gird yourself up to prevent yourself from getting tripped up. So we already had Elijah mentioned, he girded himself up and ran. You can't run when you're wearing a long tunic or robe or galabeya or whatever you want to call it. If your legs are going to get all tangled up. So that's part of being truthful, being honest. David already was mentioned. He got tripped up. And it was just a cascade of failure. He failed with Bathsheba. Then that triggered further failure as he tried to cover it up. But he who hides his sin, right? And then it goes on and says, but he that confesses and forsakes will find mercy. So transparency, I'm glad that word was mentioned too, because we think of truthfulness with regard to each other, but we need to be truthful with ourselves. And as we are standing there trying to stand, and there's something wrong with us inside, and somebody says, hey brother, what's going on? Hey sister, how are things? Everything's fine. Well, that's not the truth. That's going to get us tripped up and we won't be able to...
And the enemy will hit on that,
right,
and will hinder us. So let's move to the next piece.
Let me add a practical example of the discernment side so that brethren will understand what we're talking about from the scripture. The discernment side of it, you might think of Paul in a spiritual way girding his loins. He was a unique man in Acts chapter 16, you might say. A woman following them and making much of them, but he right away could discern the spirit behind her. To the natural men, she was absolutely great advertisement. I mean, what was wrong with her? And the words, for many of us, we would not be able to detect that what's behind her is the source, which is Satan himself. But again, when we have this kind of discernment, even when someone comes, and forgive me for saying it this way because I don't know a better English word, nice. Instead of receiving it, oh, nice, everything is wonderful. There was a man that when a woman came nice, making much of him, he was able to discern that this is not from the Lord, it is from Satan. And brethren, this is the kind of discernment we need. You know, for many of us, if we discern somebody coming strong at us, we say right away, this is wrong against the scripture. But how many of us fail when somebody comes in a sneaky, subtle way, in a very kind way, and it requires a tremendous measure of discernment to be able to say, this is from the Lord, but this is not from the Lord. So now we can move us to the second one, please.
Now we have the breastplate of righteousness. Or really, it is not a breastplate that characterized by righteousness. Righteousness is our breastplate. Mm-hmm. And what we have here is really practical righteousness. Mm-hmm. It is not the righteousness that I obtained when I got saved. It is not that at all. It is practical righteousness that will guard my breast. It will guard the heart. And the heart is the seat of the inner man. There is the outer man. When you hear the term in the scripture, the inner man, that's really the heart. It is not just a matter of the affection, but it's a matter of the conscience. If I, righteousness, practical righteousness, we talked about the armor of righteousness. If I am not upright in my practical walk here, Satan is going to come and say, really? Really? You really want to stand up and speak? Really? He will look at you if you're young and he said, spend the whole night, Saturday night, watching all of these things. You come into the meeting, you're going to put up a show? Really? And he will hit you right there. And he will knock you down. So you need to cover a conscience. Paul said, you mentioned him, he exercised himself to have a conscience, clear conscience, without offense toward God and toward man. Mm. And dear saints of God, we are living in a day that there is no righteousness. If you could get away with it and cover it, do it. If you could get away with it and cover it, do it. Just be smart enough not to get caught. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about practical righteousness. I am going to do what's right. If somebody's watching me, if nobody's watching me, because there is one who's watching me all the time. And I think that's the idea of the breastplate of righteousness.
I heard of a man who was standing preaching and declaring how he was standing in the righteousness of Christ and how God has made us positionally righteous. But another man in the crowd was heard saying, yes, but you are standing in a shoes that you have not paid me for.
So Joseph in the Old Testament, I think, speaks to me of a good example of somebody who had this breastplate. Because when you think of the heart too, you think of emotions and how it is that we are so emotionally driven as people, men and women. I mean, we tend to think of women as being the more emotional ones, but we're all very emotional people. We can know in our heads what's right and what's wrong. But could a guy, let's say, for example, in a room with his beloved, not yet married to fiance, and emotions can get out of control? Or you think of Joseph in a situation where his emotions, he could have been filled with rage, anger, bitterness, lust toward this woman, or whatever kind of emotions. And she tried to tempt him, Potiphar's wife that is, but he's got that breastplate of righteousness. And his immediate reaction isn't, let me think of what would happen if I did this or did that. The answer is right away, how could I do this wickedness, sin against God? That practical righteousness being a habit, being our default mechanism, that's not something that just comes right away when you get saved. That is something we have to cultivate as we work out our salvation. We're told in Thessalonians, this is the will of God, your sanctification. And sanctification and righteousness are really the same thing, same root word. And so as we work that out and practically develop righteous habits, always choosing what is good, what we know is right, we can be ready to face situations where somebody triggers an emotional response from us, that we don't just let our emotions, as we say, get the best of us, but that those righteous habits are there as a protection.
And that is righteousness according to God. That's what's right according to God, not according to the standard of this world that you change every day. Because it might be right, it's okay, everybody's doing it, but it's right according to God.